Hi.
Hi, Connor.
I'm Connor Enders, and I'll be interviewing my grandmother. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Delphia Rhodes. I'm Connor Enders' grandmother, and proud to be so.
Awesome. So I'm just going to start out by asking you a few questions, okay?
Please.
Share some of your earliest childhood memories.
I grew up in a large family in West Virginia, and five girls and three boys, and they were wonderful experiences. We raised our own organic food, although we didn't know it was organic. We played outside interminably, and we just had a wonderful time. We cut down our own Christmas trees, and we baked our own pies, and we had wonderful Thanksgivings and holidays. But everything was a family experience. Everything.
Right. Tell me about your parents.
My parents both were born in West Virginia. My father served in World War I. He was an outstanding human being, very well read, and a very calm, very caring, very gentle person, although he was a large man. And Connor resembles him very, very much in stature and in habits. And my mother was a wonderful person as well, wonderful cook. What do we don't remember about our mother being a wonderful cook? She was the disciplinarian, and she saw that things went exactly right. If they didn't, you were in trouble.
Where did you grow up, and what was your childhood like?
Well, we've been discussing some of that.
Right.
I was born and raised in West Virginia, and I was born in 1939. And it's interesting because I was born only 19 years after women received the right to vote. Isn't that amazing? Only 19 years. So, soon it'll be 100 years.
Wow.
So that'll tell you how old Grandma is.
Did you like going to school?
I love school. And I don't know, and maybe the rest of the people I went to school with, although I don't ever remember anyone saying, and certainly in my family, that they didn't like school. In the summertime, my father and mother kept us very, very busy. We, as I said earlier, we grew our own food, so we spent many hours working in the garden and later helping our mother preserve the food for the winter. and consequently, when school time came, we were absolutely anxious to go to school and Sunday school. I loved Sunday school. Loved to get the report card. It was a wonderful experience. It was a very close community. Everyone knew everyone. We looked out for each other, and it was a wonderful experience.
What are your most vivid memories at school?
At school? Well, one time I wrote a very impolite note and put it under my first grade teacher's seat, and I was paddled. And I deserve that. And when we didn't have a phone even. And when the note came home and the note was read, I got another paddling. I shouldn't have done that. It was very rude. I don't know where I heard what I...
Exactly.
Yeah. I bet you didn't know that, did you, Connor?
Mm-mm. I didn't know.
But other memories. I love school. I love learning. I loved to learn to read. We didn't have books at home, and all the books were at school. So it was just a wonderful experience to be able to check out books at home and at school and bring them home to read. And we didn't have that in the summer. So we were very anxious to get back to school. And all my family basically is very well read and. So much about education, you have to have initiative to teach yourself,
right.
to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And reading is a wonderful way to do that.
Tell me about your grandparents.
My grandparents, oh, what a wonderful couple they were. I only knew, really, once that my paternal grandparents, my grandfather, Nutter, and my grandmother. My grandmother, I'll start with my grandfather was this very tall, stately person, very proud. And my grandmother was this teeny tiny little lady with a little gray bun. And they lived in the country in this great big house that had a tin roof and a porch that went all the way around. It had a running brook through it with fish. And this was in the early 40s. We would take food to them. They kept their milk and butter in this running stream because there was no refrigeration.
Right.
But in any event, my grandfather and grandmother, to say that she was such a loving, caring, giving person. She had raised my father. She was his stepmother. He didn't know his real mother. She had died in childbirth. And she had raised him since he was 18 months old. And, of course, she was the only mother he knew. And she was totally our grandmother. She was totally his mother and our grandmother. And just they were a wonderful couple. We'd love to go there. And we used to get to go in the summer and spend a week. And, you know, as long as we didn't cause any trouble. Because, you know, they were old at that point.
Right.
But they both lived until their late 80s. Very good genes.
Tell me how you would like people to remember you.
As a person that was caring, fair, and above all, honest. Because I think, as I have often written in cards I've given you, there are so many important character traits that are so important in life. They're also important to you as a person. But the honesty, integrity, compassion, and love for your human beings around, you know, that to me is the most important thing. You know, that you don't do anything that is detrimental. Today, there are just things that aren't right. You know, we don't seem to care about each other, and that's wrong. It's wrong.
Tell me about some of those character traits that you were talking about earlier.
Honesty. To say what you know is true and not tell something that you think that another person wants to hear, or to tell or say something that is detrimental to another person, that, you know, you say mean things, you know. I know you're in high school. I remember those days. And people will do things, but in this day and age, people are doing them as adults. And if you turn the TV on at night, which now is almost hazardous duty, because you can't believe what is on, because it's one person is pitted against another, and it's just not right. And that's what I mean by honesty. And compassion, care about, as I said, care about the people you love, care about people that you can help if you can. And there are many ways to help people compassionately. You can help the elderly, for instance, by visiting like nursing homes or someone that lives alone, or call at compassion, caring, not just be interested in your life about everything is about me. And we had this one generation that they call the me generation. But as I said, they're adults. That's all about me and material things. And you don't have much compassion or caring about other people when everything's about you. And if it doesn't go your way or if it isn't for you, then you need to look, practice a little more compassion.
Right. What do you see as our family's legacy?
Oh, that wonderful, caring, loving, a wonderful, close-knit family. Oh, how I admire your family and the effort that your mother and father have put into it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful for me to see, since you're my only grandchildren, but if you worked other grandchildren, but to see even with at Casey and Taylor now grown and having graduated college and on their own, that they're still very much involved and in close to the family. And that's not true of everyone. You know, when I grew up, I graduated from high school and immediately came to Washington and shortly thereafter went to Europe and was there for 4 years with CIA and was later married. And then, after raising my children, I went back, after your grandfather died, I went back again. So, I've spent a lot of time overseas. I love that. That was a wonderful experience.
Has your life been different from what you imagined as a teenager?
As a teenager growing up, my entire desire was to travel. I didn't have the foggiest idea that what lay in front of me would be that opportunity. And you must remember, oh, you can't, you're too young, but 1960, women didn't travel. They weren't even in the workforce that much. And at 21, I was very fortunate to go abroad with, as I said, with CIA. It was the most wonderful experience and got me started on this wonderful, wonderful, expansive part of my life. And I got to travel to every country in Western Europe at that time. And the Berlin Wall went up when I was there and even had the wonderful experience of visiting there, taking the overnight train. But, I mean, just saw Europe. And that's the way you do it. You go there and live. And I know everyone can't do that. But to be a two-week tourist, you know, you just see the highlights and you see where all the tourists go and whatever. And that's okay, too, if that's all that, you know, you're able to do. Not everyone can have a job there. But it was wonderful, wonderful. Did I get off track here?
Wow. So do you think you fulfilled some of your desires as a kid?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes. Not only that, I had a wonderful job. I worked with wonderful people. I mean, really, truly wonderful people. I worked 35 years for the agency. So, yes.
Who has been the kindest to you?
A wonderful man named Harlan Westrell. He was my supervisor, my first assignment to Germany in 1960. He sort of was a quasi-father. He and his wife took me in like their daughter. I mean, looked after me. I had my own flat in Germany, but they were so kind, and they saw that I was included in everything, that I learned how to get around, and I was enrolled in German class, and he became a very dear friend. He was very instrumental in my husband transferring to a better job. And in the very, very end, he's the person that gave the eulogy at my dear Jim, your grandfather's funeral. But over and above everything, he was just a wonderful, wonderful human being, a huge, burly guy with his hearty laugh. He would have made the most wonderful, in fact, he did play Santa Claus when we were overseas. He was Swedish. His family was originally from Malmö, Sweden. But kindness just oozed from him. He was such a wonderful, caring human being. And to him, I owe much.
What are you proudest of, and why does it make you feel proud?
Oh, I don't know. There's something that in... What does the Bible tell us about pride and proud? I don't know about proud. Okay, maybe I'll try to address it this way. I'm most proud of my grandchildren. It's wonderful to have seen all of you grow up to be really good citizens. And I mean that in this day and time, and of all that goes on around you, drugs, drinking, whatever. And I know that teenagers get involved in various and sundry situations, but I know that you haven't, and for that I'm extremely, extremely proud. I can't tell you. And I want you to stay that way.
Thank you, and I certainly will. Would you be willing to share a sad memory with me?
Oh, yes. The saddest memory is the passing of your grandfather. And he was young, and I was young, and I had two teenage children. Your mother, Kimberly, was a sophomore at UVA, and Scott had just graduated high school and was entering college, would enter college, a couple months later. And there is nothing more heartbreaking, startling. Oh, he died at a time that was most important in their lives, and certainly in mine. He was always very important in our lives. And so unexpectedly, it was something that, as I said to them, no one can explain except God.
Mm-hmm.
But
what are your favorite family holidays and why?
Oh, I love Thanksgiving, and it's a wonderful time to enjoy the feast of the seasons, have everyone together, and give thanks for not what we have just at Thanksgiving, but thanks for what we have all year long, you know, and what God sees fit to give us, as far as I'm concerned. But Christmas, and I love Christmas. That's the birth of Christ. I've always been anti this gift business. And you probably never heard Grandma say this.
Mm-mm.
But to me, it's so commercialized. It's for the vendors and the sellers and whatever about gifts, you know. And it was like, the more packages we can put under the tree, the more meaningful it is. That isn't it at all. It's what, again, it's that year-long thing about caring and giving thanks. But I love Christmas. It's the joy. That's when, you know, we're told, and I truly believe, that Christ was born on Christmas Day. And to me, that's a celebration of Christmas. I love Christmas music. You don't hear much Christmas music anymore. Do you ever hear Christmas music?
Occasionally on the radio and stuff, and sometimes friends play
but
it.
But you know, maybe I don't turn it to the right station, but...
Yeah, it's not always on the stations.
A couple years ago, we had wonderful Christmas music.
Yeah, we did.
But haven't the last couple years, no. But Easter, and I enjoy Easter. And because that's, again, when Christ arose from the dead, that's the reason we celebrate Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And other religions celebrate their holidays, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But being a Christian, you know, I celebrate Christian holidays. And you know something, I'm very big on the 4th of July. because that was our independent. That's our Independence Day, and it's a time that we're thankful for being free and supposed to do our own thing. Sometimes I wonder about our Congress, but anyway.
To hear you say that is it's honestly very true, because you celebrate the actual holiday itself and not what the holiday brings with gifts and such. Like, you actually appreciate, like, us getting our independence and the birth of Christ. So
yes.
It's interesting.
Oh, it's very important to me, as I said. I you know, Grandma spent tons of money on gifts. It's beside the point. But deep down, the important thing is, why are we celebrating this day? And it truly... I know some don't want to call it Christmas. It is Christmas. That's the reason we call it Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate it for over 200 and whatever years. And that's very important. The same thing about Easter. It's not a something holiday and a spring break or whatever, or spring solstice. It is Christmas and it's Easter. And it's the 4th of July.
Tell me about how you found out about being... Sorry, please tell me about how you found out about being a mother.
Well, being a female, you know, when things aren't, can I say this?
Okay, you were saying?
Well, it just happened by happenstance. I wasn't feeling well. And so I truck off to the doctor. They didn't have these test kits that they have in drugstores today. And the doctor confirmed that indeed you're expecting. We were ecstatic, and your grandfather was over the moon. I mean, just absolutely. And here I am, 26 years old. And I'm thinking, oh dear, I'm going to have this baby. And in those days, you didn't know if it would be a girl or a boy. They didn't tell you. They didn't have these tests, you didn't go in and be examined, this MBO, whatever. But in any event, we found out we were going to have her. She was born on the 12th of May, 1965. The most wonderful, wonderful little bundle of joy. And she has been that the rest of her life. She was a wonderful student, always. She's always been very amenable. She's just been cooperative. I've always said, if you're lucky to have a baby in May, you're set. She has just been super. She went off to college, and it was a real loss. But before that, she helped around the house. One of her eighth grade project was make Thanksgiving dinner. I gave her the instructions. She did a wonderful job. But she would come home from school, get dinner started. She'd make the salads, set the table, do whatever. But her character has just been above reproach. Absolutely. Everything about her has just been A1 first class.
What was my mother like growing up?
Oh, she was... Grandma looks at teenagers today. I didn't have to go cart her around to do things. She was editor of the yearbook for 2 years. Her high school yearbook. She drove, and she and her brother are just the best of friends, and he had to have his anterior cruciate operated on when he was in high school, and she drove him back and forth for three times a week for therapy. Interestingly enough, when she was in college, she went skiing and did the same thing to her up to a different leg, and he drove her back and forth. But absolutely, as a teenager growing up, she never ever talked back to me. She was never ever never did that. He didn't either. Scott didn't either. But she was a wonderful person. And there isn't anything else that Grandma can really say. And, of course, now she's my lifeline, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for letting me interview you. And I hope you were able to rekindle some of the memories. And I hope it was fun for you.
Oh, I did indeed. And you know something? You need to come back and we'll chat more and let Grandma tell you about some of her experiences overseas and a whole lot of other points that I think you'd be interested in.
Awesome. I'd love to hear it.